For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 18th, 1987. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for a replacement. This is tape one of two tapes of this service.
Well, praise the Lord. We've been ministered to so far on termites. Irma talked to us about the termites. Tommy, huh? Spiritual termites. And Tommy Cook taught us about the mixture. And Gene Moody taught us about sexual sins. And I talked some about abominations last night a little bit. And Sister Fox told us this morning that we're not one of the crowd. And this afternoon, I'm going to talk to us some about curses. We can look at this in two or three different aspects of the way, but this is the way the Lord gave it to me. I have never taken an outline and used the same outline over twice. I have been too many places where I've heard the same thing over and to so many times that I could almost recite it for them, and I determined that it was never necessary to use the same outline twice, because there's enough in the Bible that it may be the same subject, but with a different aspect or a different look at it. So this afternoon I've taught about curses before several times, and that's what I'm going to teach about this afternoon. But it's a little different, I hope, than the way you've heard it before, even though you've heard me teach it before. We're going to start over in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit flowing and moving through this place this afternoon. Move and speak through us, Lord, that your people may be set free and that we may have understanding and discernment concerning the times and the areas of our life that we live in, the application of your word, and the things that we fall under because of our sins or the sins of our fathers. Father, I ask you that we have a revelation by your Spirit of these things so that we can walk out from under them and be set free by your word and in and through the name of the Lord Jesus and his blood. I thank you for it. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." And then verse 28 says, "And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." It's very plain. He sets two things before us, just as he did with Adam and Eve. From the garden, he said, "The garden's all yours. Just don't touch that tree over there." That's all he told them. Here he set before us two things, a blessing and a curse. The blessing is ours if we obey the commandments of the Lord that's set before us in the Scripture as Moses brought them out that day. And I think it would be worth your while if you would study and see what the commandments were that the Lord gave to Moses, that he gave to the children of Israel here in the book of Deuteronomy on this day that he's speaking, referring to. And then he says, now Moses is talking, and we have the problem that people say that's Moses' law. It is not Moses' law. Moses was the mouthpiece of God for God's law. It is not Moses' law. I've heard it said many times, Moses' law. That is not so. It's God's law. And God said, "Moses, you say." He said, "Jeremiah, you say. Isaiah, you say." So it's not Jeremiah, it's not Isaiah. It's God speaking through his prophet. And it's not their law or their word. It's the word of the Lord. So he says here that we will receive a blessing if we obey the commandments of the Lord, my God, which the Lord commands this day. And we're going to study some of that. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, or my God. I have a strange way sometimes in reading things. I kind of change it a little bit so it fits. When it says you, I say me. See, because it applies to me. And if I say you, then that could leave me out. But if I read it me or I, and then you're reading with me, you'll read it the same way, see, and you'll make it apply to you as an individual. And that's how it applies. It applies to me as an individual, basically. And then after that, it does apply corporately to the body or the church. But it applies first to me as an individual, to you as an individual first, and then corporately. In Exodus chapter 20, Exodus 20, and in verse 5, now the first part of this chapter, it's talking about graven images and being brought out of the land of sin and the house of bondage, and worshiping graven images and idolatry, and things above the earth or beneath the earth or in the water, anything graven. And it says, we shall not bow down or serve them. But then in the middle of the verse, it says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And what does he do? He's jealous of us, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, or a more correct translation would be, of them that do not obey my word. And it would be a correct translation. Not hate me, but that do not obey my word. And in a way, when we don't obey the word of the Lord, in a way, it's a hatred against God, rebellion against God, by not obeying his word. And then he goes on to say that he will show mercy unto thousands that love him. But he says very plainly that if we do not obey his word, he will visit upon us to the third and the fourth generation a curse upon us for disobeying and not keeping his commandments. So let's look farther. Now let's go over to the 34th chapter of Exodus. And we'll pick here. Verse 7 of chapter 34. It says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, or clear those who have sinned. Has mercy and forgiveness that won't clear those that have sinned. Visiting the iniquity of this sin of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and the third and to the fourth generation. So we have it in two places that God says he's going to visit to the third and the fourth generation the sin of our fathers and our sins to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren if we do not obey his word. Okay, let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. There's no clearing of the guilty. The sin has to be. That's one of the things that we were discussing this afternoon amongst the men here, that sin must be confessed and forgiven in order for to come out from underneath the curses of the sins of our ancestors or our own sins. We can come to the Lord for salvation. Now, some people may contend with this, but it's a fact. Sister Fox was an example. She told you all about it this morning. She came to the Lord. She was saved and had the Holy Spirit, yet she had some of the abominable things in her house. And she was bound by those abominable things until she went out and busted them up and got rid of them and burned them and destroyed them. She was bound for them, by them, and then she could be set free from the effects of it in her life. And that's true. And that's the same. That's what I'm talking about. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2, we're going to take up a different aspect now of the sins of our forefathers and the curse. It says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation. Approximately 400 years shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Tommy was dealing with over in Ezra and Nehemiah, where the priest who knew the word of the Lord, knew what it said, yet they went and married into the Amorites and the Moabites and married into the heathen nation and brought them in into the temple. And yet they knew that God said that was an abomination to him. They knew the word of the Lord. They knew Deuteronomy. Because at that time they had very little more than Job, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and maybe Joshua, or something like that. That's about all they had, really. And they may have had kings and judges or something in there. But basically the first five books of the Bible was what they all knew by heart. They knew it by heart. But they could almost quote it verbatim to you. And yet, here they went and brought the heathen into their house and into the temple. And God says that that's a curse, and you'll not permit it. Well, let's see who these people are, the Amorites and the Moabites here. Turn back to Genesis chapter 19. Tommy talked about it last night, who they were, but let's just look at them here. In Genesis chapter 19, and refresh our memory here. In the 19th chapter and the 36th verse of Genesis. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Incest, a curse to the 10th generation. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammoni, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So the Moabites and Amorites are the descendants of Lot by incest by his daughters, cursed to the 10th generation by incest or bastard. There can be two. I guess it would be a bastard regardless of how the incest happened. Whether it was brother, sister, father, whatever, it would still be a bastard and be incest. And it's cursed. There is a curse to the 10th generation. In Deuteronomy, let's look back into Deuteronomy chapter 27. And let's look here at some of the curses that are laid out here. And I have marked them, some of them here. Let's see, where will we start? Well, I'm going to read verse 19 of 27. And Moses and the priest, the Levite, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I this day. So Moses is telling them that they are to obey the commandments of the Lord. They're to obey what that which the Lord tells them. Let's see, how do I want to lay this out to you? Let's go to verse 15, what I'm dealing with here for a minute. Verse 15. It said, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people answered and said, amen. Cursed be he that setteth in light esteem his father or his mother, maketh fun or hold him in light esteem. And all the people said, amen. Now, my understanding, that those curses fall to the third generation. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people answered, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Now, in my opinion, that's cursed to the third generation. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say amen. See, the people are all admitting that these are curses if they do these things. They're admitting that it's a curse. They're saying, God, I know that's a curse. You said you're going to curse me if I do it. But what'd they do? They all turned around and they all did all these things. We turn around and I think we have done most of these things and maybe more. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people, they answered and they said, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, amen. That's an incest curse, 10th generation. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or a beast, bestiality. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, and the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, there we again have another curse to the 10th generation. I don't know this bestiality, whether it's a third generation or 10th generation. I really don't know. But anyway, we should teach our children when they're small, little, even before they go to school, what I'm standing here and reading. We should teach them these things so they understand what bestiality is, what incest is. We should teach them so that they know when they go to school and they're confronted with these things. They'll be confronted with this, even in kindergarten, in some schools. They should know that God says it's an abomination and a curse. And when some of the kids say things to them and say, they should be taught and not afraid to speak back and say, God said that's a curse, and I don't want the curse. And we haven't taught our kids these things. And that's why we've got the problems with our kids and the sexual promiscuous in America today, because the church hasn't taught the word of the Lord from the pulpit. It falls right back here. And it's time it changed. And it's got to change from the pulpit and in the home, so that your children know the difference. They know not to play with the dogs and the cats and the animals. They know that God says that's bestiality. And if you don't tell them, they'll do it because the other kids do it. And the other kids will show them. They'll show them before they even get to kindergarten. Don't be naive. Satan, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. Incest. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, murder, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, that's murder too, and all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. So you are bound by the 26th verse of the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy to teach and enforce what I have just read. And if you don't do it, you're cursed because you don't do it. It's time we take these things to heart and begin to see the reality of them and the detriment that's happened in our nation and has happened in our homes and the divorce and everything that's in rampant in the nation just because these laws have not been taught. And it's time that we taught them and that you taught them. Okay. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Who's he talking to? The household of faith, and to the priest, in the tabernacle, in the holy place. And now, you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Verse 14 says, cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So the Lord says, if we bring something different than our best to the Lord as an offering, we're cursed with a curse. If you bring to the Lord something that is not the best thing that you have, he requires the best. And if you bring something that's inferior to the Lord and not the best that you have, you're cursed with a curse because you do it. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Well, I'm going to read. Well, I'll read that in a minute. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherewith shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And verse 6 says, for I am the Lord. I change not. That means that this word of the Lord is a living reality. It's a living word. And it does not change or alter because of what I think or you think or how you try to apply it or I try to apply it. The word of God stands and it will stand throughout eternity. And it is by this book. If you're going to be a judge and rule and reign in the kingdom of God, then you'd better study this book and know it. Because the kingdom will be ruled by no other word except what is written. And here it is. It is written. And those who rule and reign under Christ in the kingdom will rule and reign by it is written, with a rod of iron. So you'd better start studying and knowing if you expect to be part of the of ruling in the kingdom and in the millennium over the nations. And there's going to be a group of people that's going to rule and reign over the nations. Jesus is not going to do it by himself. He's going to appoint somebody over cities and towns. It's very plain. It says he's going to appoint them over cities and towns. They'll be over nations. They'll be over communities. They'll be over areas. And they're going to rule with a rod of iron. And this is that rod of iron. I change not. This is my word. This is my rule. It's by this that you shall rule if you rule for me. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm very confused and disturbed by people who say, well, let's read from the Old Testament or let's read from the New Testament. To me, there is no such thing as an Old and New Testament. Word of the living God, and it is the Word. It is one book, and it's the Word of God. And Deuteronomy is just as much to me the book, the Word of the Lord, as the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Because you find up an end there in the book of Revelation, and it says, he who takes anything out of this prophecy of this book, and this is that prophecy, this is it, not just the book of Revelation. It refers to this book. Takes anything from it or adds to it, his name will be taken out of the book of life. So we don't have two books. We have one, the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28. Well, I'm going to read a little bit in 27 here that I left off just a minute ago. It says in verse 11, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you came over unto Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. Now that's strange. I just thought of this as I read it. I hadn't pre-thought. But that's strange there that it doesn't say something. Now let me read that again. And these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when they came over Jordan, the Jews. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse somebody else. I'm going to expound on that a second. We apply everything that we read. 99% of the people, we say Jew. Do you know what Jew means? What does it mean? I just read it there when I read that 12th verse. It says, and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. Jew only means Judah. It means Judah. Well, what happened? Why? How come the Lord listed all these other tribes in here? There's Simeon and Levi and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin and Reuben and Gad and Asher and Zebulun and Dan and Naphtali. It's strange today that we apply everything to one tribe of people. And we forget that there's 12 more. There's 13 tribes. You're aware of that. There's 13 tribes. There's not 12 anymore. There's 13. When Abraham blessed Joseph, Jacob. When Jacob blessed Joseph. Yes, on his deathbed. Yes, I say Abraham, Jacob. If I do that, somebody straighten me out. But it was Jacob. When Jacob was dying, and Joseph came, and he blessed all the sons, and came to bless Joseph, he gave Joseph two sons, an equal inheritance, and made them equal with the rest of the tribes, so we have 13 tribes. But the way we study the Bible and the way I was taught in my Pentecostal background, I was taught everything is the Jew, tribe of Judah. And that is not so. The tribe of Judah does have a special place. The lineage comes through Judah. But the blessing, the Abrahamic blessing, is on the tribe of Joseph, from Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob gave the Abrahamic blessing, the birthright, to Joseph and to his two sons, and not to Judah. So there's something some of you can study. You'll find it a fascinating study, and it may change your thinking, and it's lots and lots of secular history. Moses tells them, and he charges them, that they shall stand, and they shall bless, and they shall curse. So let's look at these blessings and cursings. They're in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, and Lord help us to hearken diligently, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And we need to find what those commandments are, and we need to learn to live by them. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, he's not talking to one tribe. He's talking to the whole household of Israel. A blanket covering to all of them. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And here they are. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in the storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And it says here, it concludes, the blessings conclude, that if we keep the commandments of the Lord, and they started out, if we could keep the commandments of the Lord. And the blessings of Abraham are mine, and I want the blessings of Abraham, and I expect the blessings of Abraham, but they'll only be mine as I walk in the commandments of the Lord. I love that song of Brother Ingalls, Abraham's blessings are mine, but they're only mine as I walk in the commandments of the Lord and apply the word of the Lord to my life and to the areas of my life, that I walk before him in holiness and righteousness and walk by the word of the Lord. No other way can I expect Abraham's blessings to be mine. I can stand up and talk about prosperity and speak prosperity until I'm blue in the face. And if I get it, it'll be a false prosperity. It'll not be a prosperity from God unless I walk according to the word of the Lord. Then it'll be God's prosperity, and I'll have it without having to seek for it. God will automatically give it to me. It's mine because it's my inheritance. It's mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. If I walk by the word of the Lord, and they're yours, they're ours. They're for the children of the Lord. And God wants us to have them. He's not taking them away from us. We're taking them away from ourselves. We're the ones that's taking them away, not God. They're ours if we walk according to his word. We're just beginning a little bit to begin to understand how to do that. We've been so far, and we're still so far away that we're way out in left field someplace. But thank God we're beginning to see a little light. We're beginning to understand and to walk and to come. Lord, show us thy way and thy will, that we can walk before you in righteousness and holiness. So that by your word and by your spirit, we can say it is written, and it shall be so, because the spirit of the living God will flow and move through us and bring that to be a reality in your heart and life. And the word of the Lord will come to pass, because it's backed up by the promises of God, because you walk in those promises and they're yours. They're mine. Amen. Okay. But then there's another side to the coin, and it's an awful side. And in fact, it's about five times as long as the blessings, the opposite side. So, we'll look at the other side. And this is what we don't want. This is what we want to learn by the word of the Lord to evade. It says, and the Lord, let me see, and it says, let's start on with verse 11 then. We'll carry on from, or verse, where did I leave off? 14, 15. We'll start with verse 15. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And this word basically is the voice of the Lord our God today. This is it right here. Now, we appreciate it when the word of the Lord comes through a prophet or through a prophetess of the Lord. We appreciate that word of the Lord that comes. But if that word isn't grounded in this word, then we can't put any trust or faith in it. It must be grounded in this word, for this is the word of the Lord. To observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, commandments and his statutes, shall I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed be thou, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store or food. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, so there be sickness. The increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. Your prayers won't be heard till you repent. The Lord will always hear repentance. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Nothing will grow. Droughts and... The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee. And we had dust come upon us during the 30s. I remember when the sky turned red and black from the dust clouds. And I wouldn't be surprised that we don't see it in a greater measure again than we saw it then. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. That's happened in Korea and Vietnam. And shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emrods and with the scab and with the itch, whereas thou canst not be healed. Won't do any good to pray. The doctors can't help you. Can't be healed unless you repent. Then the Lord will hear. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. We've got lots of problems with mental problems today. Lots of them. Blindness and astonishment of heart, heart attacks. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Divorced on every hand. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eye, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot even unto the top of thy head. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy president, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and thou shalt serve other gods of wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And thou shalt carry much seed unto the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And all thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get thee up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee. They'll chase after you, and they'll overtake you, till you be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. So, he says that we are to keep the statutes and commandments, or we'll get all these curses upon us. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyful and with gladness of heart, and for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, saith the Lord, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. That doesn't sound like prosperity, does it? Not at all. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck till he have destroyed thee. So, I've read to you about four times as many curses as the blessings. So for every curse or every blessing that we lose, we get at least four curses or better. And the Lord says that he does it. So that he, and if he did it, then he gives Satan a right to us. And the only way we'll get Satan off our back is if we repent and confess of our sins and turn unto the Lord and call unto the Lord for mercy and in true repentance. And and I trust all of you have been trying and have been working to do that. As the Lord brings up and reveals things to you, that you are quick to turn and to repent and to ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you so that you can get these curses and satanic powers off of your back and you can be delivered and set free. We have to repent. Satan has rights to us. Until we repent, there's nothing anybody can do for you. You must. I must. And we must repent. We must repent. Okay, it goes on here. Verse 48 it says, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and nakedness and want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, till he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest. Therefore, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. That's a horrible thing, but God's prophesied it, and it literally has come to pass several times already in history. And I trust that we'll not see it come to pass again, but it could. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward his wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward her husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for one of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and wonderful name, the Lord thy God, and Jesus Christ is his name. Amen. Then the Lord shall make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the plagues of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. And there's a whole lot of them that I've read that's written in here, but here he adds two, just in case he missed one. He adds to He adds two here. AIDS. I didn't read that in there, but that's the Lord's added that in, and others. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So the Lord says that if we don't obey and keep His word and search out His commandments and hide Him in our heart, that we don't sin against Him, that we there's a scripture that says you put Him between your front ones. That means you hide it in your mind. And I know that the Hebrews took and wore a thing, or what they called phylacteries, on their heads and on their arms. But the word of the Lord literally means that you hide it in your mind, in your forehead. You're sealed in your forehead, in your mind. You put it in your mind. It's there. You can recall it. You can recall that the word of the Lord says thus and thus, and that the word of the Lord says we don't do this and we don't do that, because it's written. I don't have to have a reason for it. I don't have to have an explanation for it. God doesn't tell us we have to have a reason or an explanation. He just says, it is written. That's all that's necessary. We don't have to explain it to somebody. We don't have to tell them why. All we have to say is, it is written. That's all Jesus said. It's written. And that's all we have to say. It is written. Don't get into theological confusion by trying to explain something to somebody. It's written. That's all that's necessary. And you can leave it lay right there. And you're clean. Their blood's not on your hands. Because you've showed them in a word and said and read it to them, or quoted it to them and told them where it's at. And that's all that's required. Because it is written. And that is all that the Lord requires of us. It says here, all the words of this law that are written in this book. That's what Jesus said. It is written. And He didn't try to argue with Satan. He didn't try to tell him, explain anything to him theologically or anything. He just said, it's written. That's where it is today. It's written. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 26, verse 18. And we're right here. Verse 18 fits right here today. And the Lord hath avowed this day to be His peculiar people. That's what the Lord's looking for, and that's what He's got today. There's a group of people that's peculiar. They're peculiar because it's just what I've written, what I have read, it is written. And He's got a group of people that's going to be peculiar enough to believe it just like it says, because He said it so, and because it is written. A group, the remnant, whatever, eagle wings, whatever name you want to put on them, there's going to be a group of people that God's going to honor, going to declare His word, it is written. And there are peculiar people. There are strange people. There are people other people don't understand. There are people other people want to avoid. There are people that other people want to find fault with. And they try. But there are peculiar people. Why are they peculiar? Because they stand in the authority of it is written. And the Lord hath avowed thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He has promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all His commandments. And that's what makes us a peculiar people. Because we believe the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy, we'll add this onto here. Sister Fox, I don't remember that she quoted the verse, but she did the same thing about it. Well, verse 25 is applies to what she was talking about. 26 is the verse I'm going to read. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it's a cursed thing. So the Lord says that if I disobey His word, don't keep His word, we need to find out what He's talking about and search it out. But if we bring in a cursed thing, anything that God says, an abomination or a cursed thing into our house, there's a possibility that we can become like that we bring into the house. Or we'll have an effect on our lives, on our household, and on our children if we have those things in our house. And there's lots of them. There's not just a few. There's lots of things that God says an abomination to Him, and we're not to bring an abominable thing into our house. Irma spoke about a couple of them yesterday morning, I think, about owls and frogs. That's just a couple. There's lots of things that God says is abomination to Him. So if we don't want the curse, then we need to obey the word of the Lord so that we don't have any of the curses upon us. And we have the curses. God says that he puts the curse on us. It's his curse, not Satan's. But he gives Satan the right to us. He gives Satan a right, but it's God's curse if we do these things. We're cursed with a curse from God, not from Satan. But it gives Satan legal rights to us that we have to take away from him so we can be set free in most of the cases. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, we'll start with it here. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then he says, and now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive. So he's looking and he's listening for his people to repent and to turn from their wicked ways. And he desires that we do. Mine eyes shall be open and my ear attend unto their prayer that they make in this place. And that was to Solomon, the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was. But today, we are the temple of the Lord. And the Lord dwells in us. And today, he's looking to us. We're that temple. And the Lord is calling us to repent and turn from our ways. And he's anxious and waiting to hear and to forgive us and to help us that we be clean and holy people before him. Isaiah 53. I don't understand how some people can say the Old Testament, oh, that's all passed away. But yet they can take Isaiah 53. What happened to it? Didn't it pass away too? What happened to Psalms 91? How can they use it unless they take the rest of the book? I praise God for Isaiah 53. That's a living reality. It lives. Who hath believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. These people who say that Jesus is beautiful, and they paint these pictures and all, the Word says that he wasn't beautiful. He's not beautiful. That he was such that nobody would... He was just another man, and he was, so far as they knew, he was a son of a carpenter. He's not anything to be looked upon, except as we've seen by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he's glorious. Majesty, power, and dominion and authority, glory, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, greatly to be praised, hair as white as wool, eyes that shine as a burning fire, feet as brass. John fell before him as one dead for the glory of the Lord. And one day we too stand in that presence, the majesty and power and glory of he who is King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with my grief. And I hid, as it were, my face from him. And he was despised, and I esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne my sicknesses and carried my pain. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities and my lawlessness. The chastisement of my peace for my soundness was upon him. And with his I am healed and delivered. By his name, all we like sheep have gone astray, every one. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him my iniquities, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? I declare his generation. We declare the generation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where was I at? I lost myself. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence.
neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him for mine iniquities. He hath put him to grief for me. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul. And he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and I thank God that I am one of those many. For he shall bear my iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he, Jesus, bare the sins of many and mine, and made intercession for the transgressors of which we are. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're unworthy. We're unworthy, Lord. We're unworthy, Lord. We're unworthy. But I praise you and I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for Calvary. I praise you for. I thank you for the whipping post. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the Garden of Gethsemane. I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you most of all that you rose again, and that you live, and that you ever live, that you're at the right hand of the Father. You're my intercessor, interceding for me. And I appreciate it, and I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. All are guilty. We're all guilty. Guilty. But Jesus made a way. He is my salvation. He's my Savior. He is my all in all. There is none other except Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Well, curses. Jesus made a way for those. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curses. So Jesus made a way for the curses to be broken off of us. The curses of our ancestors, the curses of the 10th generation, or the 3rd and 4th generation, or sometimes maybe several hundreds of years the curses may have run. Because if the familiar spirit that follows the ancestral curses, it's that familiar spirit's duty under saints to try and get that curse, to get that whatever the sin was to happen over again, so that the curse is repeated, to keep the entire family line in bondage to Satan, so that they're in bondage to Satan, so that they can't be set free. But when you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and come to an understanding of Jesus, then there's a way to be set free from the curses of our ancestral line. But as these things keep repeating themselves in our ancestral line, if they can get it to repeat before the 10th generation or the 3rd or 4th runs out, then it starts all over anew again. And I think that every one of us are under, if we haven't been set free or delivered from it, every one of us is under the curse of incest and the bastard. For somewhere back in 400 years or 10 generations back there someplace, some of us, and some of our family somewhere, has committed incest and these things that has brought the curse on. And in the other lines, the same way, so that we're under the curse of our ancestral in infirmities and in sicknesses and the different lines of the different curses. But Jesus made a way for us. In Galatians 3:13, he became that curse so that we don't have to bear the curse, and so that we have a right to come out from under it. You say, well, Jesus bore it, so I don't have the curse. In John 3:15 and 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Then all the world ought to be saved. They're not. They have to believe. You have to apply the blood of Jesus. You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. You have to make him Lord of your life. Then the blood of Jesus applies. Then God's Son covers, his blood covers our sins. The same is true of the curses. Just because Jesus became a curse, just because he was bruised, just because of the whipping post, is not automatic. We have to come and apply it to our lives. And so we can come and apply
the fact that Jesus became a curse and hung on a tree, that we don't have to bear the curse. But we have to stand and take that place of authority and break the curse off of our family lines and the curse that we come under because of our own sins. We have to come and take that place of authority in the name of Jesus, according to Galatians 3:13.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.